It was good to be here. It's a blessing to be here. And I'm thankful. I better get preaching. Most people like to get, you know, they like to start at 10 sharp and end at 12 dull. So I'm going to try and get close to part of that. I want you to look in the 107th Psalm. The 107th Psalm. I want to talk to you this morning on four looks at a lost man. But I have a long preamble to that, and that'll be the last part of the message. Because you get so captivated, at least I did, with verse 8, verse 15, verse 21, and verse 31. They all read the same. And it's an amazing thing. It ought to be emphasized, and I think it is emphasized in this verse of this chapter in the Bible. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. And since you're saved this morning, if you are a born again child of God, I want you, while I'm preaching, if you would, in your own life, to take a trip down memory lane. The preacher wanted you to be here. I want you to leave, in your mind anyway, for a few moments. And I want you to imagine, I want you to praise Him. Look what it says. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness. It says it four times. And for His wonderful works to the children of men. Let's have a word of prayer and then I'll talk to you for a little bit. Father, we thank You for this day. We thank You for the good music. We thank You for the faithful folk that are here. I don't know every face. I don't know hardly any names on purpose. And there could be visitors here today that I wouldn't know who's their flock and who isn't the flock. And so I pray today, Lord, if there be someone here that's not a Christian, never truly been born again, that today would be the day that they would come to Christ. Your heart was broken on Calvary. You paid a great price for their redemption. And I pray, Lord, they would recognize it now. And we ask it in Jesus' name. I want you to look, think about that little phrase, praise Him for the wonder, His wonderful works and His goodness. What about this? Praise Him for, you talk about a wonderful work, creation. Yeah. 6 days. Everything that you know on this planet and in the universe. 6 days by the hand of God, by the voice of God, was created. You say, I don't believe in creation. Don't tell people you're a fool. God created all of this in 6 wonderful days.
Amen. Yep.
My college president, when I went to Bible college, I went to secular college and graduated and then got saved and then went to Bible college. Dr. Tom Malone, he told about being in college. He went to Bob Jones College, not university, it was a college. When he went in Cleveland, Tennessee, he was just a young man when he went to school. He was 21 years old, had gotten saved at that age, and went off to Bible college. And he said Dr. Bob Jones Sr. was professor in one of the classes that he had. And Dr. Jones said, I'm going to assign some student to read Darwin's book, The Origin of the Species. And Tom Malone then, not Dr. Tom Malone, he said, I began to sink down lower in my seat because I had no desire to read that book. And he said, Bob Jones Sr. apparently saw me. He said, I was in the back row and sinking out of sight, I thought. And he said, young man, I want you to stand up. And I want you to report, make a book report, to the class on Darwin's book, Origin of the Species. He didn't want to do it, but he did it. He got done reading it and gave his report. He said, I was glad that I did. for 800 times in that book. Now, I haven't wasted 1 second of my life reading Origin of the Species. But Dr. Malone said, I read that book 800 times. Darwin wrote in that book, I suppose. I suppose. I'm thankful this morning that I don't have to suppose anything. The wonderful works of God's creation, what He's put together here on this planet for us to enjoy. Then you have the wonderful works of the inspiration of the Bible. This miracle book that most Christians read every single day. You know one of the great things about reading the Bible every day? You read through that thing and you read, and as you read it, you say, well, I never saw that before. Just like new things pop up out of there, but they're old things that have always laid there, and finally God got your soul ready to be able to handle it. That book written on 3 different continents by some 40 different authors from different occupations over 1,500 years, and the Spirit of God breathed on these men this wonderful, blessed book. Oh, that we would praise Him for the Bible that He's given us. Amen. This book breathes with the breath of God as we read it. Its pages are stained with the blood of the Lamb slain from the foundations of the earth. This wonderful book that we have in our own English language. Now I'm talking about the King James Bible, by the way. In the early 19th century, there was a missionary by the name of Alexander Duff. 1830 is when he went to India. On the way on board ship, the ship sank just off the coast of India. He lost everything, all his books, all his clothes, lost everything. He was standing there on the beach watching the flotsam that was there, and he saw on the waves an object, a brown object. He went running into the ocean, the Indian Ocean, and it was his Bible. He said this, of all the books I have ever owned, this one is the most important to me. And I say with Duff this morning, this book is the most important book in all of the world. He went on as a missionary to serve God and did wonderful things. Oh, for the wonderful work. You think about this personally now, this morning. Salvation. How wonderful it is to be saved. We don't really know how wonderful it is yet. But I tell you, the moment you breathe your last breath and you step on heaven's shore, and you, I tell you, it is going to be wonderful. Now, my wife, she always says this. She said, now, Tim, I want us to go together. And I'm thinking, you want us to die in a plane crash, or, you know, you're driving, we have a head-on collision? She said, no, I'm talking about the rapture. And I think that will be, you know, I've said this, and I may be just out of my mind. But I wish the dear Lord would tell me about 6 hours before the rapture. You know what I'd do? I'd get in my car. And I'd drive up I-75 out of Cincinnati. I'd get to 23 into Michigan. I'd get over on 96 and I'd drive to a little cemetery, the Evergreen Cemetery. And I'd stand there at my mother's grave. The Bible says the dead in Christ shall rise first. I'd like to have her come up out of the grave and take me by the hand. I'd have that glorified body, and off to glory we'd go. It's real. Yeah. It is real to me as if I were there. By matter of fact, the Bible says we are seated together in heavenly places right now with Him. Yeah. It's real. It's this thing of faith and salvation and grace, it's not an imagination. It is a wonderful thing of salvation to be found in Him, to have faith in Him. Oh, I've seen it. I've seen salvation in and of itself. I got saved. I was a preacher's kid, but you know, preacher's kid don't make you a Christian. You got to be born again yourself. And I got saved when I was about 21 years of age. And the guy that had the youth department, you know, that's kids that are teenagers. I was past that, 21 years of age. He said, I want you to come. They always had on Sunday night, we had church at 7 o'clock. They had stuff going on for the kids at 6 o'clock, and they had question and answer at 6 o'clock in the auditorium for people. And so he had a little 6 o'clock thing with the teenagers. He said, I want you to come and give your testimony and speak. Well, my goodness, I'd never preached. I hadn't been called to preach at the time. And I went in there. Basically, I just gave my testimony. There were two young men that came forward that night. And me and the guy that ran the youth, we led those two boys to Jesus Christ, 15, 16-year-old boys. One boy's name was Lonnie Buck. The other boy's name was Gary Brown. Lonnie Buck became a faithful member of my father's church. He's moved away now. Gary Brown, if everything's equal today, he is sitting in that church every single service now for 53 plus years. Got born again. Got saved. He worked for the fire department. He retired. You know, you work for the fire department or you retire about 50. Make more money than I make preaching, sitting around doing nothing. That's an amazing thing to me. I've seen it myself. I've seen the wonderful works of salvation in men's lives and in the hearts of homes and families that get completely transformed by the grace of God. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for those wonderful works. He preserves us. If you're saved this morning, you are eternally saved. He preserves us through the dark days of life and the difficulties we have. One of the songs we sang this morning had something to do along those lines. We praise Him this morning for the fact that He can restore the backslider.
Yeah.
I've seen it happen. Now, I haven't seen very many. I'll just be honest with you. I think I've only seen three, maybe four men who were faithful to God, served God for 20 years, let's say. Served the Lord, involved in church work, and then they'd get backslidden. And go out in the world for a decade or more, and then see them come back to God. I've only seen three or four. The way of the backslider is difficult. It's hard to get back. There was a man in my dad's church, his name was Albert Strayer. Maybe that's why he did backslide. He was a strayer. I don't never thought about that before now. That's not in my notes, I can promise you. But Albert was faithful. His wife was faithful. I don't know what happened. It happened when I was a young man. They split up. Family was all broken up. Albert was way out. He'd come to church maybe once, maybe twice a year, if that, and hard, bitter man. But I remember I was there in the service. Place was packed. It was a revival meeting, probably 400 people in the auditorium. And the kids were all someplace else, but I mean, the place was jam-packed. He was sitting over on this side of the building. My father's church has a center section, two sides. He was sitting over on that side of the building in the left-hand section of the building. And the man, we had a visiting evangelist, great evangelist. And invitation time came, and Albert was sitting on this side, so he's facing the front of the building. And I've heard his testimony so many times. He said, I got mad at the preacher. When he asked us to stand, he said, my knees just buckled. I was so under conviction, the weight of my backsliding and sin. He said, I remember stepping out in the aisle, and I wanted to turn left and go out in the parking lot and get in my car and leave. But he said, it seemed like I was just frozen there. And he said, thank God. And by now, tears are rolling down his face. And every time he gave his testimony, he said, I'm so thankful I turned right. Yes. And got right with God.
Yes.
And his family got restored. And he not his wife. She never did. But his families and children got restored to him. That was a great blessing. Listen, we're to praise God for the wonderful works.
Yeah.
Oh, to see a backslider reclaimed. To see someone who has cooled off get back warmed up and on fire for God. What a wonderful, wonderful thing it is. To see God glorified, to see him praised. Those he justified, them he also glorified, the Bible says. Through the trials and the tears and the heartbrokenness of life and the things that happen, the deep embarrassments that sometimes people have to go through. Listen, the Bible's still true. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 6 says, we are raised up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So in the coming ages, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and the kindness of Christ in our lives. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for the soul's destination. It's called Emmanuel's land. It's the eternal haven of the redeemed. Oh, that will be glory for me. Heaven is a wonderful place, the home of the soul. It's a land beyond the river that is fairer than day. Why? Because the Son of God is the light thereof. It's where angels worship and ever will. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness. Now, that's my little introduction. 16 minutes. I'll be done by 12 o'clock. I'm about as backslidden as some of the rest of you. I like to get out at noon. There's four pictures of a sinner. Oh, that men ought to praise the Lord for his wonderful works and his goodness to men. Look, if you would, look at this picture of a sinner. Look in verse 4. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. Sinners are wanderers. They wander far from the blessings of God. I think, remember that old song, invitation song? It had a lyric like, now I'm coming home. Amen. Wouldn't it be great if a wanderer in this room would find their way back to a right relationship? See, the Bible says all, not just some, all we like sheep have gone astray. Wanderer. A wanderer. Notice something else, descriptive thing about a sinner in verse number 10. Such as sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron. Sinners are captive. Sinners are captive. They're bound by their own sin. The mire of their own ungodliness. Down in the dumps of their own degradation. And only Christ, through his shed blood, can set the captive free. Do you remember in your life when the chains of sin were broken? Freedom and forgiveness and blessing was restored to your life. The wanderer. The captive. Notice something else. Look in verse number 20. He sent his word and healed them. They're sick. Sinners are sick. They're sin sick. With a horrible, seeming, incurable disease. And only Jesus Christ, the great physician, has the proven remedy to get folk out of that ill health, spiritually ill health. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. Thank God for the divine deliverance that the blood of Jesus Christ, when applied to one's life, brings eternal redemption. Yes. Hallelujah. Amen. I thank God for his deliverance from the sick bed of sin. Then I want you to look at verses 24. I'm going to read a couple more after that, but start in verse 24. These see the works of the Lord and His wonders in the deep. For He commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind which lifteth up the waves thereof. They mount up to the heaven. They go down again to the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man and are at their wit's end. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and He bringeth them out of their distresses. He maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. Then are they glad because they be quiet, so He bringeth them unto their desired haven. And there's the last time that other verse, all that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. Sinners, not only are wanderers and captive and sick, but they're like a storm-tossed sailor about to drown in their own debauchery. Now, it's kind of a strange thing to me this morning. I preached this sermon one other time, just do a sermon I got. And I forgot that I tried to sing in this song, and I sang a little bit earlier, and it was terrible. And I don't know this is going to be any better. And I may not even get into singing it. But you know, there's an old song. There's a lot of old songs. There's a wonderful old song called He Lifted Me from Sinking Sand. He lifted me. Remember that old song? With tender hand, He lifted me from shades of night to plains of light. Oh, praise His name. Praise His name. He lifted me. Every redeemed, born again child of God ought to praise His name for His goodness and the wonderful works. But I used to sing an old song. I don't think I can even find it in my mind this morning to do it. But it goes like this. I was drifting away on life's pitiless sea, and the angry waves threaten my ruin to be. Then away at my side I dimly described a stately old vessel. And loudly I cried, and he cried, ship ahoy, ship ahoy. And loudly I cried, ship ahoy. Then 'twas the old ship of Zion thus sailing along. All the border seemed joyous. I heard their sweet song. And the captain's kind ear, ever ready to hear, caught my wail of distress. As loudly I cried, ship ahoy. Ship ahoy. And this is my favorite verse. The good captain commanded a boat to be lowered, and in tender compassion he took me on board. Amen. And I'm happy today. All my sins washed away in the blood of my Savior, and now I can say, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And now I can say, praise the Lord. Thank God for His wonderful words. Thank God for His glorious salvation. Thank God that He saves the wanderer and the sick and the lonely and the besmirched by the ungodliness of sin. He reached way down for me. That's where we ought to praise Him. We ought to praise Him for the fact that He comes alongside and picks us up, turns everything around. My life, March the 15th, 1970, got completely turned around. I was going that direction, and now I'm going that direction. I was going out into the world to make my living. I was going to be a millionaire by the time I was 35. I'll never make a millionaire if I live to be 105. I'm not interested in that. He called me to preach in October of 1970. And I've been doing that ever since. I've been on this evangelistic trail since 1976. Trying to reach people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Been in 45 to 50 nations of the world preaching. Trying to get people saved. Been every state in the Union but North Dakota. I don't know why in the world. Nothing. They must be so besmirched up there. Nothing would help them. I don't know. Never made it to that land up there. Preaching the gospel. Oh, we ought to praise Him. Men ought to praise Him for His wonderful works and His goodness to man. I don't know where you are in life today. I don't know if you're saved or lost. You do. And don't kid yourself. God knows. Amen. What God knows matters a whole lot more than what you know. You know the problem with a lot of church folks have a lot of problems? You just ain't saved. You need to get born again. You need to give your life to Jesus Christ. You know, you've messed it up. You say, well, I got my life in my hands. You better put Him in God's hands. You better trust Him. Let Him do in your life what only He can do. Let's bow our head and close our eyes. If you're not a Christian today, just a simple, can you see yourself as a wanderer? Can you see yourself sick in your own sin? Can you see yourself a captive in chains to wickedness and ungodliness? Are you out on some storm-tossed ship of life, your own, about ready to go down under the waves? He'll rescue you. He'll redeem you. He'll make you His child. There's no place in the Bible that says when you get saved, everything's going to be peachy keen. Everything's going to be absolutely, you couldn't find that. When the Apostle Paul got saved, he wasn't the Apostle Paul, he was Saul of Tarsus when he got saved. When he got saved, a fellow by the name of Ananias came up there, and the Lord sent him up there and told him what to say to Saul about being saved. And Saul, who became Paul, the great Apostle Paul, you know the second thing that Ananias told him? He said, you're going to suffer. And boy, did he suffer. I've never led a soul to Christ in my life. And part of my soul winning story was now that you ask Jesus to come to your heart, you're going to suffer. But I think we ought to tell the truth. Probably ought to tell people that. You know, people say, well, all your problems will be solved. Every day will be sunny. Your temperature will be perfect. No humidity. Just fine. That's a lie. You get in the Lord's family. There's some things you're going to go through. And a lot of them aren't fun. But I'm going to tell you something. At the end of a Christian's life is a wonderful place called heaven. If you're sitting here today and you're lost and you die that way, you'll be in hell within seconds forever. Until you get out one day and stand before God and then be cast into the lake of fire forever and forever and forever and forever. A horrible thing. And you don't have to go there because Jesus Christ paid your sin debt on Calvary. Is anybody here this morning? Said Brother Green. I see myself as a wanderer. I see myself sick. I see myself on a storm-tossed sea. I see myself bound in the chains of my own sin. But I'd like to be redeemed today. I'd like to be born again today. I want to put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ today for my eternal soul. Would you raise your hand high that I could see it? Anybody like that in the room? I'm not saved. I know I'm not saved. I'd like to get saved. Is there anybody here today say, preacher, I'm saved. I know I'm saved, but I know of somebody here today that's not saved. I know of somebody by name in this building that I'm concerned about their spiritual destiny. Would you raise your hand? Anybody like that? Several people. Pray for that person. Pray for them by name right now. Ask God to save them. Ask God to reveal Himself to them, that they would recognize their condition. I don't think anybody ever gets saved until they realize they're lost. They recognize the fact, without Christ, I'm going to hell. So important. I spent over 50 years of my life trying to keep people out of hell. I mean, 2/3 of the time I've been on this planet, trying to keep people out of hell. I don't know, when I was a teenager till I got saved at 21, there's probably a lot of folk that I helped go down the wrong path. They're still on the wrong path if they're alive. How many Christians in this room? You look at yourself. Are you praising God for His wonderful works and His goodness to us? Father, I pray You'd help us in this few minutes of invitation. The ladies are here at their positions. And I pray that You'd help us to... A good word, I think, Lord, would be to consider. Consider our spiritual condition. Consider our situation, our circumstances in life. And if things aren't the way they ought to be, it could be our fault. Could be my problem. We'd like to blame all the difficulties in life on someone else. But God, help us to realize that it's us. It's us. We need to do something. We need to make a move. We need to make some changes in our life. In the direction of our life. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Ladies, if you would play whatever you want to play. Let's stand to our feet this morning. If you need to come and get in this altar, I know there's not a lot of room up here. But if you just need to, just have to, I must get to the altar. I must get to that place. I must get to that little spot in my life that needs a change. If you're not saved, you ought to come get saved. Let somebody take the Bible, the Word of God, and show you how to be saved. Be born again. I'm not talking about, well, you're a good guy, you go to church, you're a nice person. None of that's going to get you one second in heaven. The Bible says plainly, Jesus said it. Ye must be born again. Are you saved today? Are you saved today? Do you know the Lord? Are you captive? You know, I don't think anybody ever gets right with God until they get sick of their sin. I think they enjoy it too much. That stuff is not going to last very long. Sin seems to be pleasant for a season. A season. That's not very long. Spring, summer, winter, fall, all last about 90 days. Just to make it plain, it ain't going to last long, friend. The consequences of a life uncommitted to Christ as a child of God are horrible. But as a lost sinner, they're far beyond that. If you're not saved today, you ought to get saved. Just ought to do it. Let me pray, and I'm going to turn the service to a pastor. Father in heaven, I pray that You take the words that have come from my lips, especially those words that came from the pages of this 107th Psalm. May they somehow penetrate our listeners' thinking. May they become part of their life. May the words be inscribed upon their memory banks. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for Your grace and Your mercy. All of us at one time were sinners out on the sea of life, wanderers and wicked and sinful and ungodly. And You reached down Your hand and lifted us out of the miry clay and set our feet on solid rock, established our goings. God, I pray You'd help us. And we ask it in Jesus' name, Pastor.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Brother Green, for that message. And how do you see yourself today as He preached this morning? More important than that is, how does God see you this morning? Does God know that you're saved? Does God know that you're right with Him?
and be a great time this week to get right with the Lord and not only to praise Him with your lips, but praise Him with your heart, praise Him with your life. And there's no, we live in strange times, that's for sure. We're seeing a world around us rapidly changing and declining. I'm really glad to be living in Iowa. I think Iowa's made some good strides to be godly, but we live in changing times. And I'd encourage families and young people, young ladies and young men, not to get swept up in that stuff, but cling to the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no greater life to live than for living for the Lord. And we want to encourage you today to live for Christ. It's not about worshiping an idol, even worshiping a church or a man, but praising the Lord. And my heart today is that folks would draw close to Him and serve Him with their heart and their life. Thank you, Brother Green, for that. Come back tonight for our service tonight at 6 o'clock. I want to invite you back tonight. Don't miss it, please. And be here this evening and come ready to sing. Come ready to listen. And let the Spirit of God have their way in your life. And again, appreciate that. All right, let's pray. We'll be dismissed. Come back tonight at 6 o'clock. Lord, today we thank You, Father, for salvation and redemption through Christ Jesus. Lord, today I do pray that there be any here that's not saved today, that before they leave, dear God, that You would continue to convict them and lead them, Father, to Christ. And may they come and seek someone out and ask about being saved. And Lord, I do pray that You would move in the hearts of believers. Lord, let us not come and just be the same and live our life with the idea that someday we'll get right, someday we'll do more, someday we'll surrender. But Lord, may it be today, may it be this week, Father, that there's a renewal, a revival in our hearts, Father. Make and mold us what You have us to be, Father, and use our folks today, use our church, that You may be glorified and honored. And we praise You for it. We pray in Your name this morning. Amen. God bless you. See you tonight.